In chapter number 19, and beginning with verse number 25, the Bible says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then he saith to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own house." I want to take this text from verse number 25, where the Bible says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother." I believe the relationship between Jesus Christ and his mother Mary was the most amazing mother-son relationship, mother-child relationship that there's ever been in the history of the earth. I also believe that this may be the most touching scene, not only in Scripture, but also in all of history, of a mother and her son. Here Jesus Christ was upon the cross, and the mother was by the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, Mary had gone through a lot down through the years as between the time of the announcement of the coming birth of Jesus Christ all the way through the time of the crucifixion of Christ, and even in the ascension time, she had gone through a lot over time. And, of course, I believe it was quite a challenge, as it might be said, the very thought that she would bear the Son of God, that Jesus Christ would be the Son of God. He was Jesus. He was the one that would take away the sins of his people. He was Christ. He was the Messiah that was coming and that would come and restore the kingdom. He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. He was God in the flesh. And so the very thought of this woman, she was going to bear Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let me give you this quotation. "There is no biblical evidence that Mary was perfect. There is biblical evidence that she was a sinner that needed a Savior. There is biblical evidence that she was, at this point, a highly favored woman. But being highly favored by God does not exempt one from hardships. Let all good, faithful mothers take this to heart." And Mary, of course, had a number of hardships in her life. She lived through a lot. The announcement was given to her. The angel appeared and she was troubled. Then to think about the fact that she was to bear the Son of God, just that thought, she may have laid a great burden upon her about caring for herself for his sake. And then in addition to that, there was a false accusation of fornication. And I believe that dark cloud hung over her for years. In fact, it seems that even when Jesus Christ was in his public ministry, there was the implication that he was born of fornication. Then, of course, there was the time of the taxation and the traveling while she was great with child. There was a no room in the inn situation. There was the poverty of Mary and Joseph. There was the flight into Egypt. And imagine people, a couple just having a child, then having to go down to Egypt when the child was not very old, but going down to Egypt, a strange land. God provided for them, thank the Lord he did. But imagine them going to a strange land and having to stay there for a while. Imagine hearing reports about the many children that had been slaughtered as a king was trying to kill Jesus. They came back, but as Jesus Christ was here in his, even though we don't have much information about Jesus Christ in his boyhood, still I believe that it was probably quite a challenge sometimes for Mary, because here she was, a sinner mother, and she had a sinless child. It might have been that occasionally she would realize that Jesus was right and that she was wrong. Sometimes it might have been that Mary said something and Jesus might have said, humbly, but he might have said, "Mother, do you remember that scripture over in Deuteronomy? Do you remember that scripture over in the book of Psalms? Do you remember this scripture and that scripture?" And she might have over and over realized Jesus Christ is right in what he's saying. And sometimes you might realize I was wrong in thinking the way I was thinking. Now, sometimes we may think about the challenge of a sinner mother rearing a sinner child, but in this case, think about a sinner mother rearing a sinless child. There was a time when they were at the temple. Jesus Christ stayed behind. He had to be about His Father's business, but I believe they didn't comprehend that, what Jesus Christ was doing by staying behind. It was within the will of God for Him to stay behind instead of to join up with them and continue on with them at the time. And then finally we come to the time of the public ministry, as it might be said, of Jesus Christ. He was baptized by John the Baptist, and He began His public ministry. There was a great miracle that He did in the turning the water into wine. In the first miracles that Jesus Christ did, of course, it may have caused much attention to be turned to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ got busy gathering His disciples, choosing His disciples. He was teaching His disciples. He had a relatively short time to teach His disciples before the crucifixion. And so He's busy about the ministry. At times during that 3 years or so, Mary may have wanted to spend some time with her son Jesus. And of course, you might recall the scriptures where it seems that Mary and the brethren were outside of the crowd, and they desired access to Jesus Christ. But many times as Jesus Christ was in His earthly ministry, it might have been the crowds were so great that Mary had a hard time getting to her son and spending time with her son alone. And then, of course, there were controversies. There were the controversies because of the fact that Jesus Christ truly was the Son of God. And many did not want to accept that He was the Son of God. There was that rejection and that desire to destroy Jesus Christ, even in this hometown. In Nazareth. If men could have, they would have killed Jesus Christ. He preached there in the synagogue. If men could have, they would have killed Him then. During the ministry, there were those controversies that swirled about Jesus Christ. And then finally, there was the trial, the so-called trial. And then there was a crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there at the cross, as Jesus Christ was upon the cross. I believe that Mary was there of her own free will. I believe she chose to be there. I don't know. We don't have details concerning it, but perhaps someone might have tried to dissuade her from going. Someone might have said, it's going to be a terrible scene to see your own son hanging upon a cross, to see him bloody and torn there. And yet I believe that Mary was there of her own free will. And imagine Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. What a touching scene if you meditate upon the mother of Jesus. And Jesus hanging there upon a cross. Jesus with a crown of thorns upon His head, pressed down upon His head, with His back torn by the scourge, as if His back had been plowed by plowers. Imagine Him with His hands nailed to the cross, His feet nailed to the cross, blood, so much blood. In fact, if it had not been that she knew He was, she might have had trouble recognizing her own son in the state that he was in. But she was there. She was there at the cross of Jesus. And then finally, Jesus Christ said from the cross, "Behold thy son." And then he said, "Behold thy mother," and He assigned His mother to John for John to care for his own mother. Now you think about that alone. You think about the seven sayings of Christ from the cross. Every one of them is a precious saying. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You just go through every saying. What wonderful sayings they are. But then, in the midst of all this, think about Him taking care of responsibility, nailed to a cross, His hands, His feet, scourged, such terrible shape, still taking care of responsibility, taking care of His mother, even in that situation. who was there at the cross of Jesus? It was his mother that was there. I believe probably that many of the people that were there were against Jesus Christ. Here was one that I believe loved him and was there of her own accord. And so first of all, I want you to consider this. A mother's love expected. In the day of David, the Bible talks about a woman whose sons died. In fact, her sons were executed. And she was there day and night. She was there. She kept the birds away. She kept the beasts away. She was there day and night. She was the mother. Who else would be expected to be in a situation like that but a mother? A mother that dearly loved her child. Here's a story. There's a piece of poetry, but there's a story about a man that was executed. And from what I understand, in the South, in Georgia, in South Carolina, sometimes a person may have been hung as a form of execution. And they may have had a person that was going to be executed ride on his own coffin in the death wagon out to the place of the gallows, and then a shroud would be placed over his head and the rope would be placed over his head and he would be hung there. But the piece of poetry is concerning a mother. That's him there on his coffin in the cart. And there in the crowd is a woman creeping. Yes, there in the crowd is a woman weeping. And the law is just a breaking of her heart. That's him on the scaffold. See, he speaks. And there is a woman a holding of the hands they'll soon be folding. And the tears are just a raining down her cheeks. That's him there on his coffin lying low. And a woman, the first of all to love him. Yes, a woman, the last to bend above him, is his mother. But I guess that you would know. A mother's love expected. Down through the years, there have been multitudes of mothers. Whether their sons were good or bad, still, they've had that love for their sons. They've had the desires for their sons to do right. Down through the years, there have been mothers that have given so much, have invested so much in their sons and in their daughters as well. And think about even in the case where the son is rebellious, still a mother having a love in her heart for her own son. Now, sometimes you may see exceptions to a mother's love expected. In the book of Romans in chapter number 1 and verse 31, the Bible says, without natural affection. Sometimes in our day, you may find that there is a mother that is without natural affection. But I believe that God has put it into mothers to have affection. I believe it is when mothers harden their hearts against that which God has put in them naturally, that women are without natural affection. Those mothers might be said to have had the ostrich attitude toward their children. The book of Job, chapter number 39, and beginning with verse number 13. Gavest thou wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth, and warmeth them in the dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them? She is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. Now, I realize that's the way God made the ostrich, to lay the eggs, leave them there, let the young take care of themselves. That's not the way God made human mothers. Human children need care. Certainly it is an unnatural thing. There's an unnatural hardness to any woman that will take her child to a murder meal, as it might be said, for a child to be aborted. And certainly it is wrong, it is an unnatural thing for a woman to neglect her child, to not care for the basic needs of the child, to not have a love in her heart for her own child. The love of a mother is expected. There are some exceptions. The Bible says in Lamentations, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, "And the daughter of my people is become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the sucking child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst. And the young child or children ask bread, and no man breaketh it unto them." Now, that is describing a time of a tremendous judgment upon a nation. And imagine mothers, some of them, trying to survive themselves, and some of them lacking a natural affection for their own children, have become so hardened that they don't even have that natural affection. And so, a mother's love expected. There are exceptions, but actually, as a general rule, it is expected that a mother love her children. You might recall, Solomon, the great King Solomon, was tested. There came a time in which two harlots came to him, and they both laid claim to the same child. The one had overlaid her child, and it had died, and there was a swap of the children. But still, both of them laid claim to the same child. How was he going to decide whose child it was? It was not a time where they had the test that they have today, so how was he going to decide whose child it was? He banked on the expected love of a mother. He called for a sword. He commanded that the child be split in half, and half of the child be given to the one, and half of the child be given to the other. The mother pled for the child. And that was the indication that's her child. She's the mother of this child. He banked on that natural love that a mother would have for her own child. A mother's love expected. And then consider a mother's love inspected. Many times mothers have a love for their children, but is it natural affection alone? Sometimes a mother might have a love for her child. It's got nothing to do with God. It's got nothing to do with the fruit of the Spirit. It's just simply because that mother has that natural love, that which God has put in her to have toward her child. But a person might ask, is the love that I have for my children just simply a natural affection? A mother needs the 1 Corinthians 13 love. The Bible says there, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave herself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Divinely imparted love is a love that God produces in a person. The fruit of the Spirit, of course, there are a list, but the fruit of the Spirit, part of that fruit is love. Love, joy, peace, and so on. That is a fruit that God produces. Sometimes it may be somewhat imitated by the natural feelings of an individual, but they are not the same. The holy love is a love that is imparted by God. And a mother that is saved by the grace of God has the potential to love her children with a holy love, not just simply a natural affection. And so a mother's love inspected. And then consider a mother's love directed. It is God that tells a mother how she should love her children. In fact, it is God that tells us how we should love each other. In the book of 1 John, chapter number 5, verse number 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." And the verse before that said this, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments." The love of a mother for her children should be directed by the Word of God, and it should be directed by the Spirit of God. If a person is never going to the Word of God for instruction, if a person is not led by the Spirit of God, they do not have the ability to love as they ought to love. And sometimes they may have a natural affection. Sometimes they may have something that seems somewhat like that holy love. But that holy love is directed by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Sometimes a person may think, well, I love that individual. I love that child. But then they may find out when they go to the Scriptures, what they say is love is actually contrary to the commandments of God. Let me go back to that Scripture in the book of 1 John, chapter number 5, verse number 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And then once again, the other verse there, by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep His commandments, the way you love as you ought to love is you love within the boundaries of the commandments of God. And then a mother's love expressed. Now I know that there can be the expression of a mother's love, natural affection. There can be the expression of a mother's love in a variety of ways. Mothers do so much, and we might think about a mother preparing food, proper food for children, and making provision of clothing for children, and doing so many things and caring for their children. But what about the weightier matters? It's not enough to just simply supply for the body of a child and the mind of a child. But what about the preparation of the child for meeting God? What about the weightier, the things that are weightier than just the natural things? First of all, consider expressing love through a holy life. Mr. Herschel Ford, W. Herschel Ford, had a message entitled, I Remember Mama. And he spoke about in the message the things that she did not have, but then he told about some things that she did have. First of all, mother had a Savior. She was a Christian. Secondly, mother had a church. Number three, mother had a Bible. Number four, mother had a pathway to the throne of grace. She prayed. And so there's the need for the mother to express her love by living a holy life, expressing love through persistence in prayer. One of the most precious things that a mother can do for her child is to pray for her child. Persistently be praying for her child. There might be a family here that's got something going on. Maybe the parents know something about the children that everyone else is oblivious to. But a mother, knowing her child better than others, may pray about things that others do not know and persistently pray. So often, even though in the church, of course, we're to pray corporately, as it might be said, as a body, we might think about gathering for Wednesday night, having prayer time together. But honestly, oftentimes, even though if it's an important request, it might get brought up on a Wednesday evening, prayed about on Wednesday evening, but many of us may never pray about it again. Oftentimes when a person is on his way to hell, there might be one person, if there's even one, but there might be one person on the face of the earth that is praying for that individual. If there is someone that you are praying for on a regular basis, that someone that is unsaved, you might be the only person on the face of this earth that is praying for that person. And so you might think about a mother praying and praying and praying and knowing how things are going in the life of the child and sometimes altering her prayer based on what's going on, the changes that take place, expressing love through persistent praying. What a wonderful thing it is. What a blessed, what a precious thing it is to have a praying mother. If you got a praying mother, it's an unusual thing. Most people don't have that. And so, expressing love through persistent praying. The Bible tells about the Syrophoenician woman. She had a daughter that had an unclean spirit. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 7, verses 24 and 25, and he arose and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The Scripture says that he would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. A certain woman had a child that needed something. And in fact, even though there was opposition by the disciples, and even though there were the obstacles put before her, she still was persistent. And finally, God caused the unclean spirit to leave her child. I don't know if anybody else is praying for that child, but there's a mother that went to Jesus and was persistent. And God answered her request. And so expressing love through persistent prayer, then expressing love through biblical discipline. Sometimes that may seem to be an odd way to show love, but it is certainly a way to show love. To show that a person loves his child. King Solomon said, "Forsake not the law of thy mother," in Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse number 8, but also in Proverbs chapter number 6 and verse number 20. He said to his son, "Forsake not the law of thy mother." I preached in the past, mothers should lay down the law. It's good for mothers to lay down the law. It is good for mothers to have some rules to go by, to discipline children. That's a very good thing. In fact, it can be an expression of the love of the mother for the child that she puts some boundaries up. She doesn't let the child run wild. And by the way, let me say this. I think oftentimes mothers are the ones that are hurt the most when a child goes astray. I believe there can be a tremendous hurt and a deep hurt sometimes when a child goes astray. After a mother has given birth to a child and invested very much into the child, and then the child goes astray. Proverbs chapter number 10 and verse number 1, a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Proverbs 29 verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And then expressing love through the teaching of the Scriptures. One of the ways that a mother can express her love for her child is to teach her child the Scriptures. The Bible talks about Timothy's grandmother and mother, and they had the unfeigned faith. They weren't fakes. They weren't phonies. They had real faith. And the Apostle Paul wrote about Timothy. He was one that from a child, he was wise. He knew Scriptures that can make him wise unto salvation. One of the best things that a mother can do for her child is to teach them Scripture. And we might think about especially Scripture that can help the child to be wise unto the salvation of their souls. That can be a way to express love. Sometimes people may think if they give their children all the new gadgets, they're expressing love. So much more valuable to give the child the everlasting Word of God. And then, expressing love through pleading for repentance. And sometimes there may be a mother, she's tried to teach her child, but her child has gone astray. But she shows she loves that child. She's praying for him. And then when she has an opportunity, she pleads for the child to turn to God. That can be a real expression of love. Dr. Oliver B. Green was a man that was a great preacher. But before he got saved, he lived very wildly and wickedly. Dr. Green told the story that he was going to a party. And his mother and his sister were, I believe, down below in a room. And his sister was playing the piano, and his mother sang. According to the story, the mother sung about a wandering boy. He said that it did not faze him, but I find it interesting that he also says that the last thing I heard was as I went out the driveway was mother's voice. My heart overflows, for I love him. He knows. The love of a mother. A mother pleading for repentance. From the All-American Hymnal, we have these words, "Tell mother I'll be there." In answer to her prayer, this message, blessed Savior, to her bear. Tell mother I'll be there. Heaven's joys with her to share. Yes, tell my darling mother I'll be there. A mother's love. A mother's love expected. A mother's love inspected. Is it just natural affection? Or is it that a person has the holy love, divinely imparted love within for a child? A love, the love of a mother expressed, and it can be expressed in a variety of ways. But then I want to come to this last thing, a mother's love excelled. Do you see by faith as you read the Scriptures, Jesus Christ there upon the cross, bloody, beaten, nailed there? Do you see a mother standing by the cross, his mother? That was her son. I know that was the Savior of the world. And I know that was her Savior. But that was her son. And I believe she loved her son. But I believe he loved her more. In her life, she may have given a lot, went through a lot. He gave more. He went through more. I find it interesting that in John 3:16, and I know some people may say, well, let me try to say the numbers. They're not inspired. They don't mean anything, the chapter numbers and so on. But John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But then in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says this, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How do we know? How do we know Jesus loves us? Look to the cross. See Jesus there. By that we perceive the love of God. We can know the love of God. I believe that the mother, Mary, loved Jesus, was there of her own accord. But even though she loved Jesus, Jesus loved her more. Jesus Christ was actually giving himself for her salvation, along with the salvation of others, giving himself for her salvation. What a touching scene. Jesus Christ on the cross, his mother at the cross. If you will, please stand. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for this particular scene. I thank you for this particular mother. And oh, I certainly thank you for this particular son. I thank you that Jesus Christ gave himself for us, knowing that we could not save ourselves. God, I thank you for all of those that you used And I pray that you'll help us in our day to live in accordance with your word. I pray that you'll help with every mother that is here, helping each mother to see the need to love with a holy love, not just simply natural affection, but with a holy, divinely imparted love. I pray that you'll help each mother here to see the need to express her love biblically. God, I pray that you'll help every child that is here. And I thank you for the fact that you can teach a child very early along truths that he or she can keep in his or her heart for years. And sometimes it might be years down the road, but still be used for that person to come to Christ. God, I pray that you'll work in every heart. I pray that you'll help us all to obey the leadership of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. If you will, turn to number 316. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Amen. Amen. When we see what Jesus has done for us, it should make us willing to give our all for Him. To surrender absolutely, completely. And oh, what a wonderful work He can do when someone does that. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. David O'Dell, if you will, how about leading us in prayer? Yeah, we got the flowers up here now. Don't forget those. You gonna get your mother some flowers? You gonna get your mother some flowers? I think it might be a good idea. I've mechanicked, I've welded, worked on cars, and worked at a tractor shop, outboard motor shop. I've done a variety of things.
That's good.
You should be a conductor. That's a good one. I got too much else to do. Hey, why don't you take some of these out to some of the women? Because they're not coming up again, so we need to get them out. Just pick you one out, take it one to her, and then go come get another one. Take another one. Like Miss
me pass them out.
Yeah.
Find you a woman to take one to. I guess since Miss Miller's not here, probably ought to give one to one of them. Okay. Brother, you have your voice now. I didn't hear you really booming out there, so.